The Apostle Paul tells us that our bodies are temples to glorify God. Are you ready to start building? This is the Hatridge Sermons podcast, presented unedited as it was preached. Now, here's Brother Billy Hatridge with this week's sermon.
For the longest time, my dream, it wasn't just to be a autism specialist, it was to open an autism clinic. In fact, in school, we had a project where we had to design, you know, like a business or something like that, and I went full out on it. I'd use my papaw's farm there in Wilton as a model, and I built a hippotherapy ranch, you know, and little residential houses, little rent houses for adults with autism, and a community garden and all this stuff. And for the longest time, it's what got me through high school, Texarkana College, grad school, you know, and into my career. That was the goal. I was going to figure out how to open this thing and do it right. And I had tunnel vision, you know. I remember so many of my professors, not just in OT school, but even before, who said, you got to, like, let up on this autism stuff because you're going to get out in the real world and you're going to change your mind, you're going to change your field, you're going to change what you do. And I never really let up on it. And I hit the ground running out of school, you know. And when we opened up our MENA clinic, there was a very short time where I was technically the clinic director. Now, we didn't really have a whole lot of staff. We didn't really have a whole lot of clients. But they put me in charge of that. And I realized then that I was not management material. I am too, how do I put this without making myself sound completely awful, but I'm too laid back as a personality. I'm too, like, just go with the flow, don't worry about it, to be running a tight ship and to be doing something that required that type A personality of go, 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 do, do, do. I'm not organized. I'm not overly stressed about those kinds of things. And I remember people would talk to me about certain things. I'd be like, oh, don't worry about it. We'll get to it when we get to it. You know, and I didn't have the right personality. That's what I'm getting at. I didn't have the right personality to run it. And so finally we had hired a new speech therapist who was a lot more experienced than I was. She lived there in MENA, which made it way better. And I passed the baton off to her and said, you know, let her deal with it. She's better equipped. A couple years down the road go, and I'm moving up within the OT team, and they talk about making me a regional supervisor. So not just a supervisor of the assistants that I see, but kind of overseeing the OT department. And then, yet again, I realized that I was too much of a people pleaser, cared too much what other people think, to have those hard conversations with staff that have to happen when you're the boss. It was a really difficult thing for me. I wanted to be everybody's friend, right? I'm that kind of person. And so I kept having to pass the buck. I kept having to ask my bosses to kind of step in and handle certain situations that they had entrusted to me simply because I was not equipped enough to do it. And it was a very difficult thing for me. A lot of things happened. I'm going to get to the point of all this here in a second. Don't worry. But because my mission in life, what I had my eyes set on, was becoming less and less of a reality as I began to understand myself more and more and more. And don't get me wrong, I worked on the skills. I took classes online. I listened to podcasts. I read books. All that self-improvement, how to be a super efficient, productive, you know, team member and all these things, but it didn't change who I was in here. It didn't change my personality, you know. And it took a long time. Really, it was when COVID hit and the lockdown happened and I wasn't going to work anymore and I was home with my family that a lot of the priorities started to shift. And I'm still kind of dealing with it a little bit, but I'm coming to terms more with who I am. And I guess that happens as you get older. You just kind of realize, like, okay, I'm not that kind of person. But I think about how God made me, because that's really what it comes down to, right? God made me who I am, and I can't change that. I can't reach into my heart and change who I am in here. No matter how many courses I take, how many books I read, no matter how hard I try, I'm always going to be Billy Hatridge. And I think about our Bible and our characters. You know, do you think Elijah could have taken down Goliath? No. He's not that kind of guy. You know what I mean? It had to be David. Do you think Peter could have led the Hebrews out of Egypt? No. You know what I mean? He wasn't that kind of guy. Like, everybody we have in our Bible are put there by God to do that very specific thing. Think about Moses with the bush, right? The burning bush, he's telling Moses, God's saying, hey, you're going to go down and you're going to lead these people out of Egypt. And the whole time Moses is saying, that's not me, that's not me, that's not me. you got to get my brother Aaron. He's way better. People, he's the people guy, you know, like I'm up here in the wilderness tending to the flock. Like, you don't need me. But God's like, I know exactly what I need, and it's you. But even then, he still sent Aaron in because Aaron had a lot of that charisma. Aaron had a lot of those skills that Moses didn't have. Over and over and over again throughout our scriptures, we see God putting the very specific person in the very specific place they need to be, knowing that nobody else could do that and that they couldn't do anything else. There's a heartbreaking moment in our scripture where David, King David at this point now, the man after God's own heart. Remember, we often just lump David in with all of our other biblical characters, but David's David. You know, it's the Star of David in Jewish culture because of that. Like, he is top dog. He is one of the most important figures in our Bible aside from Christ, because even Christ's lineage all goes back to David in Bethlehem, right? But here we have David. He's building the city of Jerusalem. He's making the holy city for God. He sees the Ark of the Covenant, and he's like, it's in a tent. I'm living in a palace. God's word is in a tent, and I need to change that. I'm going to build this big, marvelous, glorious temple for God. And what does God tell him? You're not the guy for that. Sorry, bud. Your son's going to do it. But that's just not you. That's not what I have planned for you. And David's like, well, wait a minute, dude. I'm David. Like, I slayed Goliath. Like, you know, I took over from Saul. Like, I'm your dude, right? Like, I'm your guy. Why can't I build the temple? And God says, your hands are covered in blood, my son. Like, you're a warrior. You're a warrior. That's your job. That's what I needed you to do. Not build temples, but to build a nation. The nation's been built. Your son Solomon is going to do the temple building, right? And it's beautiful because what David does is he accepts that fate for himself. And he says, okay, if I'm not the guy to build the temple, then I'm going to do everything in my power to get it ready for Solomon. And that's what we see in the scripture. David makes sure he makes all the pacts, all the arrangements, all the deals, all the brokering with other nations to get all the supplies and everything lined out. So when it's Solomon's time, Solomon can pick it up and run. But one of the most difficult parts in life is coming to terms with what we can and can't do. I grew up in a generation, I remember posters on our school wall, you can do anything you set your mind to. That's what we were taught to believe. If you can dream it, you can do it. No, you can't. You know what I mean? Like that's something that I think has messed up so many people's mindsets in life. It's this idea of whatever you want in life, you can go out and you can do if you just try hard enough. No, God made you for a very specific purpose. He made you for a very specific task. I don't know how many times I stood up here in this pulpit and said, I'm not going to be an NBA All-Star basketball player. I'm just not. It doesn't matter how many. I could go out there to that basketball court spend all day, every day, and it's not going to happen. It doesn't matter how hard I try. It's just not. Right? And there are certain things that you are not going to be able to do. And I guess it's because I work with kids, especially my high schoolers right now, who are all trying to decide what they're going to do when they get out of high school. And some of these guys can't even read. They're 14, 15 years old, they still can't read, and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do out of high school. That's a hard conversation to have. Well, I want to go to college. Okay, bud, well, we got to start reading some Dr. Seuss first, you know what I mean? Like, you've got to be aware of yourself and your limitations. But God made each and every one of us. He did, and we're going to touch back. We talked about these verses last week, so you don't have to turn there, but he talks about how we all have our different gifts. He's made us. We're all tools in his toolbox, right? Some of us are hammers, some of us are screwdrivers, some of us are saws, but we all have different purpose. We're all designed differently, built differently. We're meant to do different things. But listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12:1, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaks by the Spirit of God, no one who speaks by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another working of miracles, prophecy, other discerning of spirits, to different kinds of tongues, and another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. What Paul is telling the Romans is this. He's saying, first off, yes, you're Gentiles, but keep in mind that no one can confess Jesus Christ as Lord except through the Spirit. If someone says the words, Jesus Christ is Lord, it is the Holy Spirit moving within them. Think about that for a moment. But he goes on and he says, look, you're all different. Stop comparing yourselves to each other. Stop comparing yourselves to me. Your ministry is going to be different. Your life is going to be different. Your spiritual gifts are different. I think comparing ourselves to one another creates so much undue worry and stress and envy and just self-hate that is not necessary for life. Like, we were built to be who we are. Now, finding out who we are is probably one of the most difficult parts of life. I know a lot of people well up in their age who still haven't figured that out. But what Paul is telling the people here is saying, hey, look, not only do you all have different gifts, different skill sets, different purposes, but the same God distributed all of them. All of them. When I served a very short stint on the fire department there in Wilton. You know, growing up, my dad was fire chief. I was going to all the fires. Anyways, and as soon as I turned 18, I started taking courses. I started, you know, helping on the department. And I remember we did those FEMA courses on the chain of command and who's the boss until so-and-so shows up, you know. And one of the most important things about that, my takeaway was, when the big boss shows up, you do what he tells you to do, because it is his job to know, to look at everybody who's there on the scene and know exactly where they need to be to do their job and what the best job for them to do in that time is. And you might not want to do it, or you might not feel like that's where you need to be, but you have to trust in the big boss that he knows where to send everybody to make sure everything works as smoothly as possible. And God's the same way. He's telling you where to go. He's telling you what to do, because he has this big picture in mind. He sees everything, everybody, everything going on all at once. Or I guess an even better metaphor is the coach with the football team, right? Like, he's got to know where every player needs to be out there. And for those individual players, all they've got to focus on, all they've got to worry about is not the big picture, but what they need to be doing in that moment. They're going to stand there on that line and they're going to look at the guy across from them in their eyes, and that's it. They don't have to worry about anything else. Like, they've got that one guy in mind. But God, he's seeing everything, and he's giving us those gifts. And when we pull away from those gifts, when we try to become somebody else because, well, that's just who I'm supposed to be, or that's what, even worse, the world is telling me I need to be, we lose sight of the big mission, on the big purpose for God. Romans chapter 12, just to double down on this a little bit. Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to them, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering, to him who teaches in teaching, to him in exhorts and exhortation, to him who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Same kind of thing, right? We're all one body in Christ. We are the temple now. Over and over and over again, we see that you are the temple now. You are the living physical presence of God on earth. You, when you walk out of this church, when you go to work, when you go to school, when you go to wherever, you are God walking on earth. You are where he resides within you. But like one body in Christ, we all have different functions, right? the heart does something different than the lungs does something different than the brain does something different than the fingers, but all of it needs to be working in conjunction with one another. And we have to understand, too, that these gifts that we are given, regardless of what they are, and sometimes they don't even feel like overly divine spiritual gifts, right? It's easy to think that you have a great spiritual gift if you are preaching in a pulpit or prophesying or a great healer, or maybe you're a talented musician and you just have the word of God on your lips. Like those kinds of moments you think, okay, well, this is a gift from God because I can worship and praise Him with it. And yet there it is, it's saying teaching and leading and giving and volunteering and all of these things that you can do that you are gifted at. It doesn't have to happen within a church. The first several years I was preaching, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't go to ministry school, but I listened to dozens upon dozens of sermons and podcasts and preachers and all these things, just trying to listen to different kinds of people, different kinds of things, and how to figure out my preaching style and how to deliver a good message, And I remember one of them. This one, it stuck with me, but he was talking about spiritual gifts, this very topic. And he kept going on about how people should use it to serve the church, right? If you're a good cook, you got to cook potluck. If you're a good, teacher, we need you teaching Sunday school. Well, if you're a good leader, we need you leading our worship team or our mission team or whatever. But I have to remind you, this church here, this is not where we serve God. This is where we learn about God. And by all means, if you have those gifts, the church could benefit from it. But you're supposed to go out into the world and use those gifts. You're supposed to take those gifts out into the world. There was a moment a couple years ago. Well, I don't want to do the math longer than that. It's one of those I'm right where I need to be moments. You ever have those where like someone says something happens, you're like, I am exactly where I need to be. And I had this boy, he was in middle school at the time, legally blind, really bad home life. He was on the slower side, again, middle school, but maybe first, second grade reading level, that kind of stuff, which we were trying to read Braille, so it's kind of difficult. But just really rough kid going through a really rough time, And I remember we're sitting there and we're just talking, and he's just talking my ear off about, he loves comic books, comic book movies, all that stuff. So, that's something I resonate with. And I remember him saying, Mr. Billy, like, yeah, bud. He's like, why are you the only person that understands me? I said, what do you mean? He's like, you're the only person that, like, understands me. And I said, but that's not true. I said, there's a lot of teachers, a lot of your family, like, people, we get you, dude. He's like, no, they're nice to me. But I feel like you're the only person that knows me, that knows what I'm thinking. And I was thinking about how literally any other therapist could have been in that room. And, I'll be honest, for a lot of it, it's my boys who don't have father figures in the home that resonate most with me. They just need a male figure. And, man, there's a lot of kids. I'm the only grown man they see. I'm the only grown man they see and interact with. And it's heartbreaking, especially for my middle school, high schoolers who need that model, need to know what a good man looks like because they don't have a clue. And the sad thing is, to get on a little bit of a soapbox, then I'll jump right back off. When you watch TV nowadays, nearly every single show, the dad is a bumbling idiot who doesn't know what he's doing. And he's a laughingstock on the show. You know what I mean? Like the old Leave It to Beaver days are gone, where the dad is a strong, responsible role model. Almost every show you watch, the dad's the punchline. So I know in so many situations with my kids that I am exactly where I need to be, doing exactly what I need to be doing. And it's not running a clinic. It's not sitting in an office signing papers all day. It's working with these kids and being there for these kids. And it was a really hard mind shift for me to make because I had this finish line, this goal that I was trying to attain. And then when I finally realized that I didn't need that or I wasn't supposed to have that, I felt like Moses. I felt like I was right there, promised land, right there, and God's telling me, no, man, you got where you needed to go. You did what you needed to do. But listen to what he says here in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold of grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." He's saying here, when you use these gifts that God gives you, and again, they don't have to be super impressive, marvelous gifts, but you know what those things you're good at. You know what I mean? Like you know those things that just seem to come natural to you. You know those things. We use them to glorify God. We use them to glorify God. Because that's the purpose. There's nothing more important in all the world than that. There's nothing more important in all the world than that, than serving God. And understanding, of course, that we are who He made us to be. We're all, like I said, we're all tools in His toolbox. He's building something wonderful, and He's using us each for a different purpose and a different reason. And when you're not being used the way you're supposed to be used, it just doesn't work out right. If you're not a good leader and in a leadership role, it's not going to work out right. I can't tell you how many times, especially when we're renovating that old house 10 years ago, or 11 years, again, don't like to do the math, but years ago, time and time again, we're working on some project and there's this tool I needed, right? And I'm like, well, I don't have this specific tool. I don't want to go all the way to Lowe's to buy this tool. It's going to cost me $100 and use it for 2 hours. You know, so I'm going to make do with what I've got, right? I'm going to dig around and see what can come close to it. And guess what? It didn't go very smoothly, right? It created more frustrations. And you all know what I'm talking about, whether it's tools or cooking or whatever. Like when you start substituting it for what it you actually need in that moment, it doesn't turn out as well. And I feel like God's looking down at us, His world, His children, and He's frustrated just like that. Like, why don't you just do the thing I designed you to do? This would be working so much smoother. That church would be going so much better. That school would be performing so much. You know, like all these things that God's trying to do in our lives, all these areas and these domains and these great things He's trying to make happen would go so much smoother if the people He made were doing the things He made them to do. So, I think we owe it to not just ourselves, but really and truly to God, to stop trying to conform to the world. Stop trying to become the people the world is telling us we need to be. There's not some magic number in your bank account that's going to make you successful. There's not some magic job title you can attain at work that's going to make you successful. What's going to make you successful is if you preach the Word of God in your words and your actions. If you glorify God in your life, that's what makes you successful. Because what's funny is I don't think I've known or seen or heard from a single successful individual, right? Those Fortune 500 CEO types that are, you know, got four mansions in their house and all that stuff. I don't think I've ever met or heard of a single one of them that reached some point and was like, all right, I'm good. I've done it and I'm done. And I'm not going to make any more money. And I'm not going to start any more businesses. And I'm just going to like clock out and go home. No, they don't. They chase and 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 chase. The only thing you're supposed to be chasing is God. The only thing you're supposed to be chasing is your purpose that God made you for. And it might not be glamorous. And it might not make you a lot of money. And it might send you places you don't want to go. But you know, it's like my favorite story, Jonah, right? God calls on you to do something. You can jump on the first ship out of town. God's going to find you. You can hide in the bottom of a ship from God's will. God's going to send a storm to cast you out to sea. That great fish will swallow you whole until you come to terms with where you're at in life. And I feel like Jonah a lot sometimes. Like I'm running from what God wants me to do, wants me to be, because I'm trying to do something else with my life. No, God, I don't want to, you know. But he knows what you're here for. If you're an Elijah, stop trying to be a David, right? If you're Peter, stop trying to be a Paul, whatever your comparison is, but you're who you're supposed to be. God made you that way. Every little brain cell, every little thought, every talent, every failure, every flaw, all of it, God designed you for that reason. So pray on it. Pray on it each and every day. Search your souls. Figure out what makes you feel like you're doing God's will, what makes you feel like you're close to Him, and seek that out. Do those things. Don't allow the world to distract you. Don't allow the world to make you think that there's some kind of magic, that you're not good enough if you're not making so much money, or you don't have a title, or you don't have whatever. I think that's tearing apart families. I think that's tearing apart schools and communities, is everybody thinking that success looks a very specific way, and everyone's trying to do that same thing instead of all doing different roles, different things, building each other up. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for the Scripture. We thank you for this message. Lord, we just pray that you help us search out our souls. Help us figure out who we're supposed to be. Help us figure out what we're supposed to be doing. Help us figure out where we need to be. Lord God, for so many of us, we've been chasing a certain idea of what life is supposed to be like, what success is supposed to be like. But Lord God, let us remember that the only success in life is glorifying you. It's searching you out. It's finding you. It's preaching you in the streets through our words or our actions. It's allowing people to see you through what we do in life. That we're not all meant to be things we're not. That we're not all meant to be worldly. We're meant to be spiritual, godly. We're supposed to be humbled servants. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope this message has helped you in your walk with Jesus Christ. As always, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. This, and sharing episodes with others, is what helps this show grow. Thanks for listening, and Godspeed.